was thinking about this subject, sometimes that God calls us for service, to be a person who is that learns how to serve others and likes to do it, and it becomes a calling to them. And then I think it's a wonderful calling, but there are some pitfalls in that calling. And I know that there have been those even here that have had trouble with some of these pitfalls. So I want to talk a little bit about it today. I had several different areas. I'm going to try to get finished as many as I can. But if you see the one there, the first one we're going to talk about is the entitlement attitude. Now, I'm going to read to you a little thing, paragraph, that explains entitlement probably better than I can give you a definition. A judge one time had this young girl in front of her, and she said to her, "Why don't you pay your mother for the car loan?" And so the girl said, "Because I received a grant for my education, and I paid my tuition with that grant, so I shouldn't have to pay my mother for the car. After all, she was going to be out of the money anyway, and if she had paid my tuition, and the judge gave the young lady a well-deserved tongue lash for her entitlement attitude. Such a mindset is rampant today, not only among the younger generation, but it is very prevalent in every institution of society, corporations, government, churches, schools, family, and friendships. Now, entitlement is when you expect. It's my right. I should have it. I've thought about it. We've talked about different things, but I remember, you know, sometimes in the school, I taught for several years, and there were things there that you would like, you know, there was pencils, and there was paper, and there was clips, and there was all kinds of little things, and many times people would take them home. Because after all, they were entitled to it. They worked there, and they didn't get as much pay as they should, and so they just filled their pockets with a lot of these things. But it goes further than that. This has become, I'm afraid, maybe not to the older people, but this has become a plague in our age, where people feel it's their rights to have this. Poor people feel like it's their rights to get welfare and anything they can get. Now, I don't know, and they base that on, after all, the government's supposed to take care of us. The same way with a lot of things, people feel like they are entitled. So there was a woman who was, she worked on this particular thing, and she said, "As I looked at that and I began to think, do I feel like I'm entitled to things? That people owe me because of particular things?" And she said, "I began to think about it very rational. And she said that then I thought, I have 6 brothers, and I expect them that anything I ask them to do, for them to do, they'll do it for me, no matter what. I'm the only sister." She said, "I thought about that. I feel she was feeling like because she was the only sister and she had these 6 brothers, she expected them to do what she wanted them to do." And that again is something very prevalent. She said, "I felt entitled to the cards and the phone calls and some of the acknowledgement from my best friends on my birthday. I expected it. I felt like they, and if they didn't send it, she would feel something about it because they didn't send it. Because we have expectations of entitlement. I deserve those. I send cards to them. I give gifts to them. So I'm entitled to it." And then we go on, "I feel entitled to the flowers from my church when I'm in the hospital because I sacrificed and gave to them the services I rendered to them. Yes, I feel like I'm entitled to what the church to look after, to look to me with comfort and with flowers and things like this." So as she was saying this, I realize that this can become very part of our life without us even realizing it. I wonder this morning, is there anyone here? Don't raise your hand. But are there any people here that you feel entitled to some things? You feel entitled? Some people are in bondage because their parents feel entitled. They gave you your education. They saw you went to America. And when you go to America, you always make big money. You always have money. So therefore, they expect. They're entitled to. They've done this for you. Now, this is coming close to your culture, so I understand that. And so then as life goes on, they can give you a lot of trouble. There's a man that talked to me. He said, my mother didn't even raise me. My grandmother raised me. And now I have my family. I have my children to put in college. And my mother and my sisters are always after me, feeling that I should be sending them money. They feel entitled to this. I wonder what you think about it. I know it's coming across your culture, and I understand, but what do you think of this entitlement? Now, the man who was talking to me, his mother has a couple houses. She doesn't really need the money. Now, if they were in poverty or if they were having hard times, you know, but they have two, they bought two houses, I think it was, at least another house and so forth, and they weren't bad off at all, but she still expected that son. She was entitled to it because how she was mother and what she had done for them. We have a tendency of calling that a credit card mother. That's a mother that whatever she does, she always lets you know. She's put it on the credit card, and someday you'll pay her back. This is a prevalent thing, and maybe in some senses, I know in the West Indies, some women didn't even want to marry. They didn't want a husband to bother them. But they would have children because they felt when their children grew up, they would be the ones that would take care of them. So in a sense, they felt entitled to this. What do you think? Let's have a little discussion. I mean, you can disagree with me. I'm used to that. That doesn't bother me one iota. Now, there has to be some brave ones here that have your thoughts about it. How do you feel about it? Is that really entitlement that they're feeling? Is it legal? Is it right entitlement? Maybe you feel that. That's right. I feel that I'm in. How do you feel about it? I won't tell your mothers.
Hey, Mommy, some of the Chinese mothers, when they demand money from their children, sometimes they don't really need it, but they want it as a symbol to show that their children respect them. Mm-hmm. They are willing to help them out. And sometimes they would say, oh, I saved this money for you. Eventually it's going to be yours, but you need to give it to me because I raised you up and stuff. Okay. I heard some friends complain about their parents, demanding parents, but that's coming from the culture. The parents think that they gave you your body, your life, and mm-hmm. then you owe something to them. And you need to pay them back, something mm-hmm. like that.
Okay, that's good. How about someone else? I see what she's saying, and I thank the Lord for these mics. Oh, this is wonderful.
I was just thinking, it's a way for children to show their love to
them. Mm-hmm.
Because you are not there with them. Mm-hmm.
Said money.
Mm-hmm,
financially. Okay. Did they demand it of you, though?
No.
Well, you see, that's the difference. They don't feel entitled to it. They just feel joyful when you give it to them. But if you didn't, they wouldn't be after you to get it. But there's many that are.
I think also depends on the family. Not every family, not every parents ask. But you know, the culture is different when we feel they don't have the money, so sometimes we just give them.
Mm-hmm.
But my parents, they don't spend for themselves, they give the other siblings.
They give to others. Good.
So,
mm-hmm. Oh, this is good. Someone else give me some little enlighten on this. Oh, here comes Charlie.
I think there is a culture of a young er fang lao. Yeah, there was a element that raising children to take care of when getting old, mm-hmm. there was a saying that. So there was a expectation in the mindset, I think, largely, although a lot of caring parents too, mm-hmm. But just say, I think the key is showing love each other. That would be somehow with good balance, that would be great. Mm-hmm. But anything out of guilt, that's the entitlement. Mm. And if I make phone calls out of guilt, I'm not making phone calls to my parents. That's pretty bad.
You feel they're
that's
entitled
a guilty thing mm-hmm. that I don't want to. I want to love them to make phone calls, care mm-hmm. them, mm-hmm. rather than out of guilt. But I think the entitlement person, if a person is entitled to receive a phone call and have to feel bitter about it, actually it's a slave over mm-hmm. the relationship and mm-hmm. never be able to be happy. Mm-hmm. That's what I sense. Mm-hmm. So a good, healthy boundary, each other. Mm-hmm. Also friendship. Friendship, we kind of expect something mm-hmm. mutual, mm-hmm. which is different from entitlement. I think entitlement is demanding the other person mm. when it's not there. The friendship, if it's not too even, it may not be the friendship. Mm. But when we desire friendship mm-hmm. closer, that's great. Mm-hmm. But when we demand to reach the thing I wanted, that's probably entitlement, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah, well, in a sense it is demanding it. But sometimes you don't say you demand it, but your attitude. Well, you didn't send me a card this time, you know. Well, when what it is they expect that, you know, they're expecting it. So in a sense, we can demand things without saying words about it. But it's a sense of demanding that we expect this. We're entitled to this. Yes, that's very good. Anybody else? I'm enjoying these, really. Makes me happy. I'm entitled to that. No.
And actually, when we first experienced entitlement is when you go to a town center in Boca Mall, town center mall, you can see a lot of entitlement people.
Yes. There's someone back there. Someone back there. You're right.
Mm. I have two boys. One is 9 years old and one is 12 years old. Mm-hmm. After all of these years, I feel like a lot of parents, when they're raising children, they actually feel like they have entitlement for excellent children. They always have very high expectation to their children. They think the children should bring trophy home, bring first place home. Mm-hmm. And sometimes now, I think that's not right. For example, I heard this story, a child who is graduated from a very prestigious college, and mm-hmm. after graduated, he does not want to talk to his parents. He said, you guys treat me as your trophy. You always give me so much pressure, mm-hmm. expecting me bring honor back home, and that's not right. You mm-hmm. destroyed my childhood. Mm-hmm. That's something I think yes. parents also should pay special attention to.
This is another, you're right, this is another hard one. The expectations and the parents are entitled to this. They feel like I've given you this, all the things, and I've helped you learn. And you know, I've heard some of them say, "Well, I don't even make you clean or you know, do the so that you can make this thing." And so it becomes very hard many times on young people. Now there's some that are very bright; they make it anyhow because they are. But then there's others that have worked. I know lots of stories that over these years in Taiwan and in China. One boy told me, he said, before I was out of high school, I had bleeding ulcers. No? Because of what their expectation. And he just wasn't altogether that bright, bright boy, but he had to work so hard. And he ended up with bleeding ulcers. I know another friend of mine that her parents expected of her, and lo and behold, she didn't get into one of the biggest, you know, get her into the college where they wanted her to go. So she came here to the United States, and she did so well here. And she actually went on to get her master's, and then one of the colleges asked her to teach there, which is another, you know, that's a good step. But she never, never felt she was good enough. You know, her parents felt they were entitled to something, but, and she lived under that very much. She died very young. She died fairly young. She died, and that thing was following her all along. And I know there's more than, there's many of them, you know. There's something about when people expect something of you, it puts you on attention. You know, I know it myself. If people expect me, that if sometimes they expect me to be able to do this or that, or, you know, you're going to teach, oh, mommy's going to teach today, and then I do an awful job, you know? And so expectations, even those kind, really get you a little nervous and that type of thing. But as we're talking about expectations, we can go on to say that there are some things, and I like to talk about this because I feel like we need to observe it. Now, in our relationship with people, suppose now that we're pretty good friends, or at least they think they're pretty good friends, and there's one that shops often and one that doesn't. And she's always asking the one that's shopping to bring her this, to bring her that, to bring her the other, you know, that type of thing, until the other friend is very, very tired of it. But she expects her to do this, you know? Some people say that sometimes people will want a ride, and then they'll want it every week, and you have to, you know, this, and they just expect it, and it puts a pressure on the person, you know? This is the kind of thing, are we entitled to some of these things? Are we entitled? I want you to think seriously. You have your opinion, you know? Go ahead, Annie. Yeah, let him be.
Yeah, I have something that is related to entitlement. It's basically it's about like it happens in workplace, my work in the company, the title is kind of staff engineer because I'm kind of new here, mm-hmm. And then I've been around doing a lot of stuff, like every bit of everything. Basically, I know the kind how to do it, and even right now I do a lot of like staff engineering stuff, and then I also assume a lot of responsibility, management coordination, mm-hmm. many like DOT projects. Mm-hmm. The thing is, since I'm in the company just like 1 or 2 years, still have the same title, which kind is low, and then when I'm doing this kind of coordination job to make the project to be delivered smoothly, and then I need support from other part of like staffs, kind, you know, because it's kind of just their expertise, and then now. Like I feel I have done a lot of stuff, and then can I talk about to my boss about like kind of entitlement issue? Cause like if you pay your staff low, and then you ask this guy to do kind of coordination mm-hmm. job, and then that guy maybe has been here for a long time, and then they have kind of higher salary. And then if you ask the other guy to do something for you, give you some support, and then if you don't have kind of the same level of salary or kind of title or whatever, and then you don't feel the you don't have the sense of entitlement, you know? So all this, I think entitlement, the sense of entitlement should come with the kind of raise, whatever, promotion. Mm-hmm. And then if the boss is not willing to this kind of promotion, mm-hmm. and there always some level of resistance from other staff, that you know, that doesn't help in terms of delivering the project smoothly, you know. Mm-hmm. And then, I mean, for the last week, it's kind of hard time for me. I feel a lot of resistance. What I need is, like, I was trying to talk to my boss, like, give me kind, you know, authorization stuff, and then make it kind of, you know, legally, be more legal to get, like, the instructions or direction, like, through, and then should I need, like, talk to my boss about this kind of entitlement issue?
I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's...
But
no, it's not just long. It's very involved.
Because
know?
If you don't do it, like at the brain, at the subconscious level, they don't listen to you. I give them instructions, give them direction. They don't listen. They just want to argue. Every time I told them, they just talk back and give some argument and make the conversation is very hard. You know.
I understand.
Yeah.
I understand. Well, I really think that every job that has certain things you have to do, you need that name or whatever so that everyone knows that you are responsible for that. You know, I understand that. Entitlement in that type of way is, how shall I say it? I'm not sure how I should say it, because what you're asking for is not something that you feel like you must have, and I should have because of who I am. But you're talking that you need a type of entitlement so that you can do your job more efficient.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I think that's where you are. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that type of thing, that you feel like you need to be able to. You know, many years I worked for a person that, and I really was under them, you know, but I never had any power. I never had any authority. And so after a while, it was just like, you know, everybody else, you know, you do it because I can't get anything done, which is really not entitlement. What you're speaking about more or less is the ability to have the station that you should have to be able to do your job with competence. People will understand, you know.
I guess I will talk to my boss anyway, maybe tomorrow. Yeah.
Just talk to him nice, you know.
He may not listen, listening to me. He may think it's not necessary, but
is your boss English? Is your boss American?
No, he's from other countries.
Oh, that's worse yet.
Yeah, he's from Malaysia.
Does he speak Chinese?
No, not.
No.
Yeah, he speaks English.
Yes, you see, sometimes even your language, you're not going to be able maybe to explain it to him the way you want to.
Yeah, the other day we were in his office talking about of kind of friction in work, and then he said, see, everybody, English is not the first language. We have like Indian, Cuban.
I believe
and,
it.
Yeah, Chinese.
Well, that must be hard, actually, you know.
Yeah.
Because even though you know the vocabulary, sometimes you cannot express how to use that vocabulary so that they can understand what you really mean. You know, it's bad enough in English sometimes to try to explain it so people really understand it, even to English-speaking people. So that must be really hard on you fellas, you know, to be able to express how you feel to it, you know. But try your best if you feel
I will try it tomorrow morning.
Here's a businessman, he can tell you.
I just want to share some thought over here. I think that some, maybe by the company's authority and the job description, that the responsibility may not be clearly defined, that your boss should be able to help on that. But that's probably some structure problem in each company.
Mm-hmm.
May not be that clear.
Yeah.
And but also the more senior or more more experienced people in the company might have an entitlement route, but may not always be. Maybe just the need to be respected for their expertise in certain area under a younger a leader, you know, that can have that or less seniority in the years, but it may have a higher title. Mm-hmm. You know, that's complicated. Mm-hmm. I think that's a different aspect.
Yes, and in an organization like where everybody is a different nationality, there can be prejudice. You know, he's from Malaysia, and maybe in Malaysia some of the Chinese got on his nerves because they own so much of everything. Then he may have a prejudice.
May have other things, right, in their previous experience resulted in this current situation.
Yes.
But I think people don't trust each other.
No.
But this is a process to start building trust. Mm-hmm. And the Christ, even dying on cross, like this is a process to do right, to be, I think that's things to practice.
Mm-hmm.
And even we couldn't reach agreement sometimes.
Yeah.
And it's complicated and difficult.
It's complex.
I think that's
sometimes
true.
These things are complex. But let me tell you about entitlement and jobs and what it has done to a certain extent. We were very strong. Now, the unions were very needed in about the, the early 20th century, because they worked the people too hard. It was too, the companies did, and it was just, they needed the unions. But as time went on, and they came to this time that we're living in now, the unions began to get this feeling of entitlement. We deserve this, we deserve that. I really believe in many ways the automobile industry fell because of their unions. They milked them to death, you know? So I hear now that we have many more manufacturing jobs than we did when we had this collapse in 2009. But we're not hiring anymore. There's not that many jobs. And here what the manufacturers have done has they've gone to robots. Yeah, they've gone to robots. Yeah, how much do... we used to have a man that would come out and put gas in your car, and he would wipe your windows. Now they don't have anybody. You just push your credit card in and get your gas, go off, you know? No man, no... But that's just a simple one. But now they're getting to the place where these big car factories, they've got robots doing it. You know, all these machines doing, all they need is people to keep the machine straight, buttons, I guess, and make sure that they're put together all right. And it's in many things. Why, when I go to Costco's now, I don't need anybody to check me out. I just check out myself going through, and I like it. I tell you the truth, I like it better. But what I'm saying is we have come to the place where unions and their feeling of entitlement has really taken the jobs away from them, because now they have turned to the robots. They have no problems with robots. They don't ask for more money. They don't ask to have a longer time to have their snack. They don't they don't even need sick pay, that kind of thing. So you can see the money it's saving the government. But that really was pressured. I know the scientists came with this, but it was a pressure that if it had been that they would make as much money with people, they wouldn't have got robots. You know, it's money. You follow the money. But because of the pressures of it all, they got the robots. They have all of that now. So that was one, that's a form of entitlement. I'm not sure, are we getting clear what I mean by entitlement? It's actually, and the thing that really bothers you, we treat it as if it's a benefit that we expect. That's entitlement. I deserve that. I should be getting that. I should be getting more money. I should be getting. We should have coffee given to us. We shouldn't have to buy it. You know, we get to the place in government now. It's going to kill us. It's going to ruin the government. All the people that feels entitled. If you knew what these government agency people, such as James in the special, the oh, anyway, he's in the security thing for the State Department, okay? If you knew what they got, they feel much entitled. I'm now, you know, they get to the place where they can feel pretty much entitled, and you wouldn't believe what they get. They go overseas. They want their car kept so for 2 years, and so we see that the government pays 1,500? No, it must be more than 1,500 to keep their car. And when they come back, somebody comes to the airport and picks them up. Every bit of packaging and all that they want to send is sent free, you know? And when you take just one, but when you take thousands and thousands of them, and we look at our government with Social Security, or rather with welfare, they expect. Social Security is different. Social Security is supposed to have more money in it than any other part of the government, but the government took out of it. Started with Johnson, because it was money that was supposed to be in there, set aside. It's not their money. We're entitled. The only entitlement to Social Security is the fact that you paid in, and that's where you're entitled. But when it comes to welfare and so many other programs, you wouldn't believe, and I mean me either, how many programs that we have today where people feel, you know, after all, I can't make it. I lived in the slums, you know, that kind of thing. And they feel that this isn't their entitlement. So we have come to be a country that basically many times we feel that we are entitled. Our children feel entitled. After all, Mom, everybody else has this. I feel like I should have it too. And our youth are very, very much this entitlement thought. And it really is going to hurt the society. But when I was thinking, basically entitlement is selfish. I want it. I feel like I need it. I feel like I deserve it. And I don't quite understand the feeling of entitlement. I guess it's the age I grew in. We were always happy for everything we got. And entitlement brings up a very selfish generations. Basically, they want for themselves. They want. I want more money. I feel like if I don't get it, I'm going to go slow. I'm not going to work the way I should work. That's one of their tactics, you know? So we have to understand that. But if we as Christians, this is where I wanted to get because of our service, get to the place that because I do service, then I am entitled to respect, to people to help, that they do it my way. It's almost like an entitlement thing. And while we're doing our services, and if we don't get it, we feel very badly about it. When actually we have to recognize that when we're giving for God, I've talked to people that has this problem. And I'll say, listen, work for the Lord. He'll give you what you want. You don't have to have people praise you. You don't have to have people see what you're doing and say, oh, let me come help you and this kind of thing. You're doing it for the Lord, and because you're doing it for the Lord, it makes a difference. I know that. I know myself. I'm a woman in a man's world. I never asked to be a pastor. I never asked to be a preacher. God just called me. He put it on. My mother said I started preaching when I was 9 years old. She said I spent one whole hour talking about Noah. So you can understand why I'm so long. I started young. But I'm in a man's world. And when you're a woman in a man's world, you have to do at least twice as much to be able to even be hardly recognized. But that never bothered me. God took that from me. I didn't care if they didn't like me. I remember one time I spoke in the school, and the kids that came out and they said, Sister Swartz, I liked your speech. Sister Swartz, I liked your, you did very well today, your whatever, you know, they had another name, but never message, never, you know, preaching or anything, until one little girl from Virginia, she wrote, Sister Swartz, I liked your speech, your preaching. But in being that, I never felt entitled to anything. I felt like what God gave me, No one has ever closed doors on me. I've always had open doors. I didn't have to force them. I didn't have to go. But God opened them because he called me, you know? But it does have its sort of back, you know, you can. Let me tell you, many women that's in this, are, you know, it really troubles them how they're treated or how they're, you know, this kind of thing. And but we're not entitled to anything as far as I'm concerned. What, you know, I feel like when you get to that place, it's a sense of selfishness in us that I feel like I should have it. Let's look at our notes there where it tells us about some of the things. Some of the things that can help us. We have to resist this role of selfishness and this attitude by willing to meet the reasonable expectation of those on whom you place expectations. Remember that meeting expectations should be a two-way street. So actually, we should not expect of others what we and when we ourselves are expecting. But we don't really care about the other one and what they expect. But I must recognize that I work for a group. They expect this of me. You know, they have said to me, just like Jesus, he told the one in the morning, you get a penny. He told one at the night, you get a penny. And they got upset about it because their expectation was, after all, I worked all these, but this is what he bargained for. So when we get our job, we have to recognize this is what I bargained for. That's why I signed my contract, you know? So what I do is by my excellency, by my ability, that they will begin to see that I'm worth more than that. But when we have to fight for it, but I know some bosses, they just don't see it. They would never give it to you. I recognize that. So there's a fine line in your own self. Am I just trying to be selfish, or is it the fact that it is a reality? So we have to understand that. And then we have to understand that we resist the role of being selfish in our attitude by being, you know, I'm sorry, by being selfish in our attitude. But don't manipulate others into meeting your expectation. Manipulation is another art that people have. They can manipulate people. Oh, hon, you do that. I remember when I was in the West Indies, and I was a woman, as you can tell, and I was in charge of the house, and we have four three or four big buildings, you know, and they all had toilets. I hate them. I love them, but I mean, I hate to have to take care of them because one of them's always having trouble, you know, and sometimes it's the pipes under the ground, and I had a school to take care of, and I had a house, and I had a church, and I had an annex, and it was really something. So I have to tell you, I don't feel it was manipulation, but I'm not quite sure when I think about it. I would have to call one of the men to come fix it, you know, and while he's fixing it, I really do like to see people do something, work, and I like that. But I would stand there and say, oh, I remember one boy, he was like a son to me, and I would say, oh, you do such a good job. I really appreciate this, you know. And he would work, I would just cheer him on. I'm not sure if that was manipulation or not. But when we get to the place where we try to manipulate, which means that I try to make people do what I want, by going around very subtly until they hardly know that I'm doing what they want. And manipulation, when you have expectations and when you are a person that feels that it's your right, then sometimes they don't get that right. So they begin to manipulate. They sort of go around until finally they get what they want. Now, children are very good at that. Children are good manipulators, you know? Mommy, I want something. No, you cannot have it. But everybody's got it, Mommy. No, you cannot. Oh, Mommy. You know. They get that sad voice, you know. Oh, Mommy. I'll you give it to me, and I'll save my money. And they're manipulating you. They're really manipulating you. And oops, now I'm, looks like I'm he's manipulating me. and so I actually they learn this. Some women are very great manipulators, men. You have to understand it. Before you know it, you're doing what they want. And you don't even hardly know how you got there. We have a way of, they know their husband. They know how to manipulate. But when I think it's, I deserve it, but they're giving me a little trouble, then I work and manipulate around it until I get what I want. Then we see, do not assume that a person's past kindnesses or benevolence is a pattern of entitlement. And this can be a problem in friendships, because we used to give this to this person, and then we had a little hard times, and we don't have quite the money now, and we just didn't give it this time. Maybe we just gave her a card. And there's something in them that feels, well, after all, you've been giving it to me. They feel a sense of entitlement. I should get it, you know? So actually, this is another thing that we have to recognize, that just because people always does it doesn't mean that we always have to have it. We can't expect it of them. And that sometimes breaks our friendship and our trust if we're not careful. Does anybody have anything to say about some of these that I've given now? Yeah.
Yeah, I just follow what Wenbin said. I think this title is very sensitive topic. If you really want to talk to your boss, you have to think about it very carefully.
You do it very carefully. You're right. That's good.
Charlie's the boss. And
but I do think that what he's trying to say is, it's not that I selfishly, but I need it to be able to accomplish more in my job. You know? Is that...
I hate the other part of the job. I can do it without no problem. Mm-hmm. Like, do it correctly. Like, the other guy do it, man, just give me hard time. If I just don't, like, use the data they gave me and without further examination, whatever, and then your data goes out to your client. And then it comes back, and then you have this, oh, this is the issue, and phone call, emails. If you don't do it, we will have this issue. So many times, I'm frustrated, kind of it's frustrating to check those things. Oh, the work they did, and then I have to take my own time. I feel I have, like, you know, it's better for me to do it in the first place. And it saved my time. I don't have kind of this frustration.
Mm-hmm.
Many times, like, I'm tied up with other things, you know. I cannot do everything, every job. And mm-hmm. also, I don't want to take the job from other person.
Mm-hmm.
But if you take this job, and then they feel, oh, you're trying to do my job, and then they have, like, negative attitude to you,
mm-hmm.
and that's even harder.
I don't really think this is an issue of entitlement. Entitlement is, huh? I'm sorry. No, I don't think this is. No, I don't think yours is really entitlement. Entitlement is a selfish feeling that I deserve this, and I'm going to fight for it. You know, and I'm going to get around. You know, see, if you were a manipulative person, you would become very friendly with your boss. When your wife baked something, you would bring it in and give it to him. And someday for lunch, you say, would you like to go out to lunch with me? You know, and there would be, he would give you a you would get friendship with him. Now, I'm not telling you to do this. I'm just telling you what manipulation is. It's a very good example. And so eventually, because you've taken him out to lunch, you get him coffee, you get him thing, he feels like, oh, you're my friend. And then you feel like I'm entitled to it because I'm his friend and he should do what I tell him, you know, and what I feel I have. So actually, I don't think yours is an entitlement. I think yours is, like you said, you need to get something that you might be able to do your job more efficiently, whether it's a title or whether
a title,
it's...
title, a kind of authorization.
Yes, I understand.
The thing is like, there is a kind of senior level guy, he's trying to push me to do this kind of this, so he can be free.
Yeah.
He can avoid all this frustration, you know? He knows dealing with this guy or that guy is gonna, you have a lot of frustration. And he wants to like push me to the front line. And on the other hand, I don't have the kind the same level of, you know, kind authorization to let people to
do things, and show them how to do it and expect them.
Yeah,
what they
and
get
actually
done.
I'm doing a lot of these things and I got resistant or kind, you know, very kind, many times it's a hostile attitude. I don't want them to be upset, you know. I want them to be happy in the world. But sometimes the pressure builds up little by little and, you know, it's not easy to undo it, the relationship, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Like, once their attitude, they develop this kind of hostile attitude towards you, and then I cannot do anything. Many times I need to do it, but I know if I go ahead and do it, and then they're going to be a problem, like,
yeah,
like tension.
Yeah, I understand.
Yeah, and then I need a title, kind of, you know.
Yeah, I understand, but you're not feeling you're entitled to it. You're wanting a title,
here,
that's right.
here you have like several points of kind of conflict.
Yeah.
I have but conflict with the senior guy. Mm-hmm. He said, you go ahead, I don't have time, you go ahead and do this one. Mm-hmm. I said, no, I cannot do it. This is like one place. And then many times I with the other person, like, I told them, you do this way. They feel, oh, you're overstepping my boundary. Don't, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
What you're talking about? I'm managing the whole thing, man. He's only responsible for like part of the job, you know. But his attitude is like, make the job
But you
very
see,
hard.
Some people at work, they feel they're entitled to some nice things from different people. You know, you have somebody that, you ask them, will you sit in while I do this, you know, and that person does. But then it becomes a habit. That person's always going back saying, will you sit in or will you do this? And I can't get this done. Will you help me to do this? And that's the person that has the spirit of entitlement. It's like, you owe me. You know, like, you know, I'm your friend. And they begin to do that. And I think many of you experience that, don't you, in your job, you know? People will take what we call advantage of us because they feel that they're entitled, they're selfish, they want what they want. They're not caring about you that much, you know? They're just caring about. So I think I don't think yours is entitlement. Yours is title. She's right. Okay. And then I think the last point, and I wonder sometimes, you know, as I told you, I have to tell you the truth. I search in my heart since I was saying, I don't feel entitled to anything. I feel like whatever I get, I get. Whatever I work for, I work for. I don't really feel entitled. I don't believe I do. I've been trying to search my heart for that. But I think maybe it's because of this last thing, that anytime someone does me some kindness, I think some people feel like, well, Sister Schwartz, you just say thank you all. No. But I thank people because I really feel thank you. I appreciate what you've done for me, and I really do. In fact, I'll tell you the truth. I find it very hard sometimes if somebody's doing something in my house that I can't do. You know, now that I'm older, I just can't do that. I feel so, I owe them. You know, I feel so bad. I'm so glad by the time they leave because I feel so bad that I can't do it myself. So actually, I'm sort of more to the extreme, but I have learned through the years to always appreciate what a person does for me. And when we do that, I know that the Chinese are not that, you know, you're not really like we Americans, thank you, you know, you're not that much in tune to that. It's not your custom, but it really is. It shows in your heart, if you're really true about it, that you do appreciate what people do for you. And we should always appreciate, because whoever they are, they do it because they want to. At least you're hopeful they do. Not that they feel they have to, but that they want to. So I think that's one of the areas that maybe we need to develop a little more. Maybe you don't have to say thank you, but, you know, if guys have high-fives and they have pats on the back and, you know, different ways to express that they appreciate what the person's done. And I think if you keep in that mode, it will help you to not expect everything from everyone, but to be appreciated. Now, I'd like to have at least two more people to say something or jump up and down or whatever you want to do. Because I don't have any more on this one. I don't want to put the other one out.
I think I have been experienced both culture from China and America, like most of us. And I do think American culture in showing appreciation is much better than the culture from China. And I can share with you one small story. One Christmas time, and I brought a $5 candy to my son's piano teacher. And she told me, ah, that candy is wonderful. And I never tried that delicious candy. And I was so touched. And I went back to public, bought the candy for myself. And I tried that. It's just a regular candy, nothing special. But the way she expressed the appreciation really made me feel very, very good. And mm-hmm. I think it is something I really like, and I really appreciate the culture of America in terms of appreciation.
Yeah. I think that's the way some of the workers in the Chinese churches, I'm not just talking about, I don't mean the preachers, but I mean those who clean, those who work in the kitchen and things like that, we're not used to appreciating each other. And we begin to feel that they're just using us. They don't really care, you know, that kind of thing. And that's why I think that some of them get at times bitter because of it. And maybe if we would learn how to appreciate each other a little more. I mean, if there's anybody in the church that I appreciate, it's the janitor. I really love janitors. I mean that. When I first started preaching, I had a little church, and I had to build the fire. I had to clean the church. I had to play the piano. I had to get up and take the offering. I had, you know. So one time a lady came back from working in the north, and she came back down. Of course, I wasn't that far south then, but she'd been in New Jersey, I think, working. And now she would come home, and she said, Sister Swartz, you're not going to do that anymore. You're not going to take care of that fire anymore and clean this church. I'm going to do it. Oh, I loved her. How much I appreciated that woman. So that's why I say I know the importance of a janitor, because I know because I had to do it myself. And so I really appreciate. But, you know, as we go along, it's so good to have somebody say, you know, that's a good job. You know, that's really, really good. I appreciate that. But I'm afraid sometimes if we don't do that, people get sort of hurt and bitter unless they can really gauge their life with the saying that I'm doing it for Jesus and it doesn't matter then, you know. So maybe it's us that needs to perk ourselves up and be a little more kind to one another, a little notice a little more and be a little, you know, that type of thing. Now, don't everybody rush back and say to the ladies today, oh, what a good dinner, we really enjoyed it. You know, don't do that. They'll know I'm in trouble. But I'm just saying, you know, actually, when we went to the, I'm so used to this, that when we went to our retreat last week or the week before, well, I can hardly eat anything. I got some bread, I got some, I think one day, oatmeal, and another, and I get bananas, you know. But when I left, I saw these two chefs down there, and I knew the food looked good. Oh, I would have loved to eat it. And it looked delicious, and it was a lot of it. So I would go, and I would say to them, thank you. You really cook. You really cooked, you know, a lot. And the people were telling me how good the food was, so I wasn't lying to them. And I was saying, hi, thank you. And, you know, all during that time, the man, the cook, he would be very pleasant with me. And so when I got ready to leave, I told him how much we enjoyed this and that kind of thing. And it helps you. It makes you feel better, and it makes them feel good. Now, we paid for it. You said, well, after all, we paid for it. Why do we have to thank them? Because that feeling that, well, why should I bother? It's because we feel we deserve it. We've given money, and so therefore we deserve a really good treatment, you know, because of our money. But it's better if we as children of God can show people that we appreciate things in life, you know. And I understand. I've worked 25 years with the Chinese. I've gone into your restaurants with some of my Chinese friends and almost died. I remember when I first went in one of those banquet rooms, you know, and they had the several girls there. And the way they talked to those girls, oh, you know, it really hit me hard because I'm not used to that. A waitress here would dump the food on your head if you talked to them. Like But I've talked to them about it in China. I keep telling them, as Christians, we don't act that way. We don't treat people like that. But that's all. That again is a spirit of expectation. I expect it because I paid for it. You know, that kind of thing. And you say, well, why shouldn't you? Well, I enjoy when it's good, and I expect good service. But they're human. They're not robots. They're humans, and we need to express it. And it really lifts their heart. It really makes their day. I've seen it time and time again. And bring a smile to their face, you know? This is what we are. We're lights of the world. We go around trying to do things that lift people up. And then they sort of say, well, you know, they're different. Those people are different. These are the little things that makes us different and really shows the world that there's something real in the hearts of Christians. When we act like everybody else, then what is the difference? But it's God's children. So you say, but I'm not used to it. Start little time. You don't have to do it every time, but every once in a while, start and do it, and you'll be surprised what a difference it makes to those people that's working for you or doing something. It makes a difference. Well, thank the Lord. Oh, go ahead.
Yeah, for the restaurant. Mm-hmm. That in China, that issue really, yeah, I was thinking about that too. And some of our dear friends can treat the waitress like that. Mm-hmm. I think it also come to the background. Mm-hmm. And many years ago, we were treated very poorly, yeah, by those people.
Yeah.
So they kind of still carry that.
Yeah.
Think, if I don't ask, yeah, they don't do it for us. But actually, it's not the case.
No.
They would do it very nicely, mm-hmm, now, mm-hmm, but they still carry the baggage, I think. From
maybe
the past.
So.
They, yeah.
But you know what I've found? Now, when I, you know, they take me, some of them take me to very nice restaurants. I mean it, pretty and nice. But I've gone to these restaurants, and they'll have a girl dressed nice. Now, she's the one that takes your order. Then they go down the line. There's those that bring the food. You know, and those and other little things, you know, that they, and I can tell the difference in the attitude of the girl with the nice little hat and a dress well toward those others. It's a layer thing, you know?
Yes.
In India, the caste is even stronger.
Caste, yeah.
Different class, yeah. So they just treat the different ways. So.
Yeah, that's why Jesus showed us that he could touch the leper, the one that had leprosy, that everybody was afraid of. He wants us to realize that. You go ahead. Now.
Another question about the second from the last point, mm-hmm, that was assuming other people have to do something,
yeah,
or pass favors. That's great for us not to expect, but for the doers, when we sometimes also have trouble, say, oh, if I help, you know, we might have obligation to continue, so we could withhold some help because afraid of being
used
as a must.
Mm-hmm.
So if we stopped, say, giving a person a ride, for example,
mm-hmm,
if we do it once, then or give five times, but then we couldn't. We had to explain. We had to, you know, that's give us a sense. If we, you just say, sorry, I can't, they kind of feel, what's wrong with you? You know, that's, is that an entitlement?
Yes, you know? It is. It's, it, that's why I say we're living in a world like that, you know? And actually, in your business, it goes both sides. Because we get a person that helps us time after time. But if we don't do it, when we get a better price somewhere else, they don't feel too good about it, you know? They feel like they've done much for you and that they...
No, it should be okay.
It should be okay.
Not in the business sense. It's just a personal
thing. Yeah.
Business, so we're happy other people find out. We like to know sometime to...
Yeah,
know what feedback, to... But to help us to realize...
Yes.
But it's not necessary to tell us.
But then sometimes when you're getting priced and you say, well, you can't give me a good price this time, you know, they feel entitled to some of that, you know. Yeah.
We understand that we cannot do the best job of everything, but we try.
Yeah.
We learn. Mm-hmm. But if somebody else do better job, that's perfectly okay because it's
that's
the
your
truth.
Business. Yeah.
It happens. Everybody has, every business has something to do better than other business.
Now, that's the way you are and your wife. But I can't say that maybe all of the travel companies are like that because you're Christians, you know? But some, I think there's some little feelings. Well, I thank you all for being here. You've talked today, and I'm so happy. It's made me feel so good. Thank you, and God bless you. Now go get your...
它真是就是在那儿有动静。